This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome to Casual Conversations number 8.
Welcome back.
I am your host, Ryan Bean, here with my lovely co-host, Alena Sweetser, and we are talking all things life, and we're glad you're here to join us, so thank you for supporting us through this journey. It's been fun. So
a great one.
It has been. It's been great. So one of the things that we discussed on one of our previous episodes and we thought was a good fun format is one of us coming in with a topic and the other one being completely blind to it. So this episode is my episode. So yep. I wanted to bring up the topic of one-on-one time with your children.
Oh.
And just how critical that is for that, the overall relationship with your kids. So let's have a casual conversation about it.
I think that's a good one.
I hope it turns out well.
It could be a long one, but well, I'm okay. It'll be good.
It can
so
be.
I can only talk to a certain extent about this because my kid's only 4.
Yep.
And you've seen your kids go through many stages. So I can talk about on the mother side, but then I can also talk about the daughter side. So
that's why I wanted to get into it. And then I've got older kids and I've just now recently started doing some one-on-one trips with them. So I just kind of wanted to get into how I feel the importance of that one-on-one connection and what's different from our generation growing up. Comparison to today's generation.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with when I was a kid and then I'll talk about how I do it now as a mom.
Great.
So, I was fortunate enough to have a stay-at-home mom growing up. Well, she became a stay-at-home mom about age 6 before she was diagnosed with a illness that forced her to stop working. But we benefited as children. So I am one of 3. I have a twin sister and older brother. He's 3.5 years older. And what I will say is I have a very strong relationship with my mom now because she was always there for me. She's kind of like Allison. Like she was always the president of something, the manager of my soccer team, there for my sister's dance, there for my brother's music, putting him in things. So she was very involved. And I think because of that, and I can only speak because I only had that type of experience, but I strongly believe because of that, that each of her kids were able to flourish into their own beings, their own selves, right? We were able to be creative and find those passions that all 3 of us have because they're all going to differ. Each kid's going to differ. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at me and my sister, she loves fashion and I'm happy if I do my hair that day or buy something off of Amazon. So I think the one-on-one time is super important. I don't remember going on like mother-daughter dates really as a young kid, but my one-on-one time a lot with my mom was traveling for tournaments or taking me soccer practice or hanging out between games and tournaments. Mm-hmm. To this day, I talk to my mom every day. I mean, my day is not started if I'm not calling my mom in the morning. Mm-hmm. So as an adult reflecting on my childhood, I think it was very impactful.
Right.
And she is involved with my child now.
Which is great. And I think it's, and we'll get into that in this episode as well, as the importance the grandchildren, you know, the grandparents have with their grandchildren and that one-on-one time connection. So the reason I wanted to talk about it was because our generations are very different, right? You know, growing up the way we did, and it's not necessarily going to do something or an event or a trip or any of those, it's just that one-on-one connection, mm-hmm. right? It's, you
the
can go to,
love.
You can go grab a cup of coffee and go to a park with that, you know, your each individual kid. I think it's so important to that relationship. I think, you know, it's time that you're never going to regret giving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, growing up, you know, it was very different, right? Because we had to adapt to, like, what my dad loved to play golf. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I kind of got into golf because my dad played golf. Mm-hmm. So if I wanted that one-on-one time with my dad, really it was because I kind of adapted to what he enjoyed doing. And I think you're seeing a flip on this, or to some degree, right? You know, and this was probably going on during my childhood as well, but we didn't really have that. I had good connections with my parents, of course, but there was very little one-on-one time spent with us as individuals, as kids. Mm-hmm. And that was something that, you know, marrying Allison and, you know, when we started having kids, we still didn't probably, yes, we did it, but not to the degree that we have over the last several years. And I've noticed how important that piece is to my kids. And, you know, it's something that I think we take for granted because we work all day, or my mom and dad, you know, growing up, were tired and they're exhausted from working. And the last thing they want to do is go play catch or go on a walk or go to a park and have a cup of coffee just to have a one-on-one conversation. But I look at, you know, we talk so much about business and work and effort and the time you've got to put in. And I truly believe that that is probably the biggest investment we can make. And very seldom do people really do it. And I think it's something I've really recognized over the last several years. And I'm really trying to make a point, and Allison is as well, to have that one-on-one connection with them where it's just us. And, you know, I've seen more of it.
If you want to master the Pinterest mom or being the ultimate mom, like, Allison is the queen. I call her queen for a reason. Mm. And she does it so well. I see how creative she is with the things she does for the kids, or scrapbooking. Mm. Like, she has years of scrapbooks, and I got myself in one last week, remember, or a couple weeks ago when I was here. And just the attention that she gives each child and their differences too. Like, Dylan's in fishing, Addie's in cheer. I see your kids thriving. Piece of that. Well, and of course, you've been a part of it too, but moms are natural nurturers for a reason.
Right. And like you said, but you made a comment about your mom and how you were blessed to have a stay-at-home mom. I was not, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I think most of the people that listen are in a situation where both parents work.
Right.
Right. And, you know,
I'm in that position.
Right. So it's, you know, use Keen as an example.
Yeah.
I see you doing so much one-on-one time with Keen. Now, again, you have one child, so it's easier, right? But you want to have, you've talked about having a couple more babies at least.
Ten more.
Oh boy. You better get to work.
We have kids 60.
But at least a couple more kids. So what happens when now all of a sudden your attention has to be shared, right? It has to be spread out between three. How do you make it a point to where you're like, you know what? I can't lose that connection with Kian, but I know that when I have my future babies, I'm going to have that one-on-one with them. And when time keeps getting pulled away from you because you're working in those type of things, I think, you know, most people in general have a struggle making that time, mm-hmm. One-on-one with their kids. But I think it's so critical. And I think to myself, like, how many years did I miss? But yeah, we did tons of family stuff and we've always done those type of things, but really the one-on-one connection.
Bonding.
So, you know, I think what really triggered it for me was Dylan, right? Mm-hmm. So when Dylan got into fishing, and I enjoy fishing, you know, I have fun doing it. I've done it as a recreationally. We've gone to the lake and done
he
that.
He catches minnows.
But yeah, I'm not very good at it, but I enjoy it, right? But my son has a passion for it. He loves doing it. And I think this is where the flip was, is again, I looked back at my childhood going, okay, if I wanted to spend one-on-one time with my dad, I had to be involved with what he wanted to be involved with and get into a hobby that he liked. And that was a way I could have a connection with my dad one-on-one. My mom and I didn't really have that one-on-one time. We didn't have lots of in-depth conversations until much later in life. But when Dylan really got into fishing, and then he bought me a fishing pole for Christmas. And I remember telling my wife at the end of that evening, I said, if that wasn't a sign that my son wants to spend one-on-one time with me, it's like, Dad, I love to fish. I know you kind of like it. I'm going to buy you a fishing pole so that you come out and fish with me. And I knew at that point I had to flip. I had to adapt to what my kids wanted to do and what they were passionate about. And even if it wasn't something that I liked doing, it goes back to what we talked about the last episode with comfort zones. Okay, so it might be something I enjoy doing, but how am I going to open myself up to go try these new things? Well, my son or my daughter is forcing me to try these new things, right? And Addison, her and I both are foodies. We love to cook. So, okay, now every month we do a huge family meal where she picks the meal out of the cookbook. She completely plans the meal. We go to the store together, we get all the ingredients together, and we kick Allison and Dylan out of the house, and we make this big family meal for our family. And I'm like, okay, what did that cost us? It didn't cost me anything.
Well, she's going to take that into her adulthood, and one day when she becomes
right,
adult,
right, right. You hope so.
That.
Right. And
it goes back to our episode on foundation and marriage and the foundation of our lives. And I don't know if you remember me saying something of, my dad told me that you want to take the best part of your parents and replicate that in your own way. And then you want to take the things that you didn't agree with or that hurt you growing up as a child, and you want to change that.
Right.
And I think you took that and you changed it, and look what it's done.
Yeah. And well, you look at, but it's also different, right? Because like you just said, even though you and your mom weren't doing like a trip, she was in the PTA, or she carted you to all these tournaments, and you got to have that one-on-one time with your mom. Your dad may have been working or whatever, you know, raising his household and taking care of the family and those type of things. So, you know, you were in a blessed situation where you still got to have a lot of that one-on-one time with your mom. And like you said today, you call her every single day. How impactful is that? When you start thinking about legacies and, you know, we talk about success and how success changes and how we view success, it started, you realize it as you start getting older. And you made this comment in the last episode, and it rings so true, is, you know, having, you know, a successful life is having your adult kids want to hang out with you. And I think what we're doing is going to put us in a position to where that happens. And I think
already
that's
it is. Yeah. Look when we do game night, and Dylan comes down with his buddies.
Yeah.
And they want to play games with us old seasoned people.
Seasoned. See, you're still young, so seasoned for me.
I'm partially seasoned.
But, you know, one of the things also is, you know, you talk about, so, you know, kind of back to your point is, you know, that what do you, I mean, these things you do.
How do I balance it?
Well, no, you do these things. Yeah. How do you balance being a mother, being a wife, and being a full-time realtor and making that time? Because I know there's times where you're super exhausted doing this podcast, right? And we keep adding stuff to our plate when other people are trying to take stuff off their plate.
Let's do a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Why not? Let's throw it. Let's throw it in there. So how? And I see what you do, because I see your Facebook posts with all these one-on-one things that you do with Keen, and how critical you've made that as a priority to you, which I freaking love, by the way.
Thank you.
But how do you push yourself to say, you know what? I got to get over me being tired. I got to get over this situation that happened at work today. I got to put a smile on my face for my kid and bring a great attitude and have that one-on-one time. How do you push yourself mentally to do that?
We're about to get deep. You ready for this?
I am.
Did you bring the paper towels?
Oh man. I told you when we started this thing, if we don't shed tears on this podcast, we're not doing our job.
That's right.
It's supposed to get emotional.
So I'm not going to lie to you, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's not easy. It's been a big dig on my ego these last 2 to 3 years. Because when Kian was a baby, they're easier to manage a baby. Yeah, they wake up in the middle of the night and they cry, but you can still work and kind of plop them there and they just sit there and look at the stars, okay? Once they start walking and talking, it's a whole different story. You have to be more engaged with them. And he would cuddle. When he was a baby, he'd cuddle with me and I'd do emails, whatever. That was a lot easier to manage versus now when he's talking and he needs my attention. Keyword needs, okay? Not wants, needs. And so, and this is a lot of work through my therapist, I had to put my ego aside, and just like I said the last episode, and accept that I won't be number one in my office during these vital years. Because I think, I have to look at the stats, but the first 7 years of any kid's life is the most important. It it molds them into who they're going to be, their personalities and everything. It really does. And I'll have to go find that, send that to you. So that has been, it's been a hard struggle with me because I've had to decide what to sacrifice, either sacrifice time with my child or sacrifice not doing, not being number one, which, you know, kills me. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's a still, honestly, a mental struggle every day. I mean, just last week I was telling Cole, I was like, man, my production's not where it used to be. And what if all these people are like, oh, she's dropping in sales, but they also don't know what value I'm bringing to my life right now too. Uh-huh. Money is not only the only valuable thing in life, uh-huh, in my opinion. And I look at my son. So for instance, I told you, I think in another episode, one of the most proudest moments is when my son will say, I love this family, or we're doing something. He goes, we're doing this as a family. And then, you know, I have Can Mommy Night, and he gets so excited about Can Mommy Night. And if you're wanting to do this with your kid, I message me, because it's super easy to plan out.
Mm-hmm. They want your time.
They do.
That's the crazy part, is it's free.
It is.
It's, you know, doing a puzzle, doing paint by numbers, making a meal. It's just about setting aside that time that is so valuable. And when you talk about number one, and I know you're going to get emotional here, and I'm glad, but you're, for the right reasons, but you're number one to who's important.
Right.
Right. And at the end of the day, you're going to look back, and you're still, the real estate thing is never going to go away. You're always going to be a killer. You're always going to be successful in that because of who you are as a person. You're going to look back, and you're never going to regret sacrificing houses that you sold for Ken, that has to call his mom every single day, like you do to you or your mom, right? When he calls mom every, you know, once a week to check in, hey mom, how you doing? How's your day? I can't start my day without having a conversation with you. You're gonna look back at that and go, this was worth. I didn't sacrifice anything. The gain that you got from that is so much more impactful, because then that's the legacy that you leave him, right?
And, case in point, yeah. I would rather die with a legacy than die with money.
I love it.
That's how I see it. And, you know, and I see a lot of realtors now, and I'm a human. I compare myself. I'm like, man, they're doing so much business and they have kids. I know when there is a post that is forced on social media with these realtors, and you can tell in the kids, the way that their smiles are not full smiles, or their husbands are sitting there like, oh, another photo. And that's why I don't post photos of me and Cole. I don't know if you noticed that. I really don't post a lot about me and Cole, because that's my relationship with him, mm-hmm, right? And that's sacred to us. Kian, I try to not overly post about it, but I'm in full-on mother mode right now. Mm-hmm. And most of the times when I do post something, it's like mommy Kian and I showing value, how to connect with your kid kind of thing. Here's what I'm doing or whatever, mm-hmm, you know? And so my thing is, I think it's more important for me now to build my son's future than it is emotionally and in all aspects in that way, I guess, than it is to build it financially. I know I'm always just who I am. The financials will back us and our family. Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to have it, right? You want that security, and you want your kids to have a secure, yeah, future, which you still are going to. You and Cole still are just, you know, you guys are hardworking and those type of things. But, you know, like I said, it, you know, it started with the, and now we have sirens in the background. I don't think, I don't know. It's not cloudy today, but they're running the test. There's going to be a podcast one of these days, guys, where we don't have dogs barking. Yeah. And this is the problem with doing it outside. Anyway,
birds chirping.
And, you know, but you mentioned social media, and you talk about how people post stuff on there. And sometimes, you know, it's almost like a brag, right? Or it's a fake life. And I got to be careful with that, because although my posts are genuine, sometimes, you know, if someone's looking at the outside, it's okay. Is this a brag? Is this him? And that's not how you mean it, but it's amazing how people can take it. Right. So I'm trying to be better now at some of those things I do with my kids more privately, mm-hmm, because it's between, like you just said, it's the connection between me and them. It doesn't need to be broadcasted to everybody else. The reason that I do it is to show people like, hey man, wow. I never thought to do a cooking class with my daughter. I never thought to, you know, make sure I set aside time to go do whatever. You know, my kid's into skateboarding. I'm going to go to the skate park, and I'm going to leave my phone in the car. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to watch him skate. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to watch my daughter do ballet with no phone. Leave my phone at home. Just give them that one-on-one connection, that one-on-one time. Know that you're there rooting for them. I just think it's so important. And like I said, I wish I would have done a lot of these things earlier on. Now that I've got teenage kids, you know, it's you know, early on it was, like you just said, it's ego of work, and I've got to perform for work, and I've got to create a life for them, and I got to make a certain income to get to a certain level. And then you're going, the year goes by, another year goes by. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll get to it. Oh, we'll eventually make it worth it. It'll become important at some point. And then you hear things like 85% of the time that you spend with your kids, 85% of their life. I saw the stat. I want to say it's from 0 to 12. Mm-hmm. So the first 12 years of their life, you spend 85. That's 85% of your time with them.
I mean, look at me. I don't live in New Mexico. I see my parents 2-3 times a year.
Yeah.
Talk to my mom every day, but physically see them.
So you start thinking about that. So you see them physically 2-3 times a year. Let's say they've got 20 years left.
Let's say I have 20 more Christmases with my parents.
Start putting things in perspective like that, right? Start thinking about those type of things, and that really will open your eyes.
And that's, you know, I say that to Cole all the time. I'm like, our kid's already 4. I feel like we just had him. So I really have maybe 10 more years until I'm not cool anymore and he wants to go with his kids, which I'll be okay with. I mean, I'll be sad, but I'll be okay with, because I still want him to find out who he is, and I'll back him and I'll mold him for that. But I want him to be his own type of leader.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, when you talk about just the relationships about kids and their moms, I think it's so important. And whoever's watching this, you don't have to be married to have that relationship.
No.
You know, and it's, a lot of people think, well, you're not in our shoes. You have to create your own type. You have to figure out a way. I know where people, especially now with inflation, we're overworking, we're hard. You got to figure out what to sacrifice. And I've sacrificed my ego and be number one in the office on sales. Like I'm working to make what I need to make, not what I want to make, need to make. And the sacrifice we just talked about today. You know, I can't go on vacation with them next year, and I can't go on vacation next week, because I now have to work, because my sacrifice now is working towards having more kid and having another kid, buying a house and securing my child's first early development years. That's my priority. And unfortunately, I have to sacrifice things. It kills me. I can't go with you guys. It does, you know, but you have to look at things in perspective, and I'm in building phases of my life.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say, is everyone's in a different chapter, right? Mm-hmm. So just because you're on a different chapter and you're on a different page doesn't mean anything. There's just going to be certain things that you can't be involved with because you're at a different point in your life, right? So, and you know, I'm on the other side, right? I missed the days of where my kids were Ken's age. Mm-hmm. I remember Addison at 4, 5, 6 years old, Dylan at that age, and you know, I was their hero.
Mm-hmm.
Now they want to be with their friends 90% of the time. So I'm on the back half of it. So everyone's sacrificing something. Mm-hmm. It's just, what are you sacrificing, right? So now you have your son that idolizes you and Cole, wants to spend every waking moment with you, mm-hmm. would do whatever he can to be around you guys and get that attention. To now, yeah, I might have more free time to go on a trip, mm-hmm. but my kids want to hang out with their friends, mm-hmm. and I'm seeing that window close. That was the main reason why I did these trips with my kids, is I'm mm-hmm. going, okay, Addison's 15, Dylan's almost 17, college is around the corner, their lives are around the corner, adulthood's around the corner for them. What can me and Allison be doing? And Allison always had that one-on-one with Cheer, right? And Allison's a stay-at-home mom, so she's had president of the PTA, vice president of Cheer, president of Dylan's Bass Fishing Club, volunteers for the church, does volunteer work for dementia patients, and those type of things. So she always has made time to have that one-on-one connection. But again, 99% of what my wife does with them cost no money.
Mm-hmm.
It's, hey, let's watch her and Dylan watch the movie, movie day yesterday, because it was election day and they had the day off. Mm-hmm. So they watched movies together, but it's just getting that. It was just her and him.
Do you know how many times I've played the game Sorry Trouble with my kid?
Yeah.
The past month.
Probably drives you crazy.
He freaking loves it.
Yeah.
And he loves being competitive with mommy. And do I want to play Sorry 3 times in a row? No, but it means the world to him.
Yeah.
Especially when he beats me.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, in this conversation so far, is why it's important to us, why it's important to the kids, why we think there's so much value in it. But the other thing is, too, is grandparents, right?
Yes.
So, you know, I look at grandparents, and I think sometimes grandparents look at it as like, well, I raised my kids. Mm-hmm. I'm past that.
I did my duty.
Yeah, and I think for me, I tell people all the time, I'm not going to be that grandparent. I'm going to be the grandparent that says,
Give me my babies.
Oh, my gosh. Especially Allison. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my gosh.
But I want to be that grandparent.
Yeah.
And we have friends of ours that are grandparents that do whatever they can once a week
to spend one-on-one time with their
Connie's hanging out with Sadie this weekend, and she's so excited about that.
Because
I love that.
Because she knows how important that is, and it gives the parents a break. Mm-hmm. And if the parents want to go on a trip, I want to be the grandparent that takes my grandkids to Disney World.
Right.
Like, hey, you know what? You guys go on your trip. I'm taking the grandkids to Disney World. Mm-hmm. Me and Grandma are going to have a great time, and we're going to have a blast with them.
Yep.
I just don't understand. I think that people, you know, I'll use this as an example. Like my mother-in-law and my dad, you know, he lives further away, and he's just never been that type of guy, right? My dad's social. He likes to hang out with his friend. He likes to be in the social setting. I don't think it's a trigger for him to have that one-on-one, try to have some sort of relationship.
It's also his generation.
Yeah, but then you look at my mother-in-law, for instance, and I can't tell you how many times she calls up before the kids had their cell phones. Now she just talks to them regularly, but she'd call up and say, hey, is Dylan there? And I'm like, oh, hey, how are you doing? She was like, I'm here to talk to you.
Or you guys go there every year for Easter.
Yeah, pass the phone to Dylan. Like, I want to have a conversation with Dylan, and they text back and forth.
Yeah.
And like, Dylan goes up to his grandma's house now to go help her do stuff, and like, he just spends one-on-one time with her. And I just started thinking about just how valuable that truly is going to be at the end of it. And, you know, and not everyone has that luxury because they live apart. Your parents, I know, spoil the heck out of Ken when they get to see him.
But when they don't see him.
Yeah.
I'll say one thing like, oh, Ken wants this. And next thing you know, it's on the front door by Amazon for my mother. I go, Mom, it's the middle of the summer. His birthday's not till October.
That's why they don't want anything for their birthday and Christmas, because we make everything.
She's just such a special thing this year. And I'm like her. I have a lot of love in my heart. And I get that from my mom. For Grandparents Day this year, since she lives in New Mexico, my kid lives here in Texas, and my niece and nephew both live in California for my brother and my sister. They put a picture collage because they couldn't physically be at Grandparents Day. They put a picture collage together, which Ken has next to his bed, and I caught him cuddling with it one time for nap time, and they wrote a letter and they dated it, and they pretty much said, this is why we love you. We're sorry we can't be there. You're a grandson, and this is how much you mean to us, all the things. And I think that is so special. And I read the letter to him, and obviously at age 3 at the time, he was, you know, he took in as much as he could, but the thing for him was he was looking at the photos and all the memories of him and his grandparents, you know. And I just think that's an extra, it's a type of love that a mom and dad can't give, only grandparents can give. And they can only fill. So we're the rocks in the jar, and they're the pebbles. And that's how you fill the jar up.
Yeah, and you know, and then it's sand, and then it's water, right? Mm-hmm. You fill that stuff up, but those little things are so big in the big scheme of things. And you look at it's just an effort, right? And that's what it all boils down to. When we start talking about life and our kids and our marriage and work, it all boils down to how much effort are you willing to put in? What are you willing to give up yourself for the betterment of somebody else? What are you willing to put in additional to change your situation?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like your situation, what are you doing about it today to better that? If you're not in the house that you want to be in, what are you doing today to get you out of that situation? If you don't have the relationship with the kids that you want, what are you doing differently
to fix it?
And I can tell you, you know, I see it all the time where it's like, well, they have to, if I've tried and they're not, try harder. You know, or I put an effort in here, man, it just didn't seem to do anything, so they just give up. Right?
So I have a prime example of that.
Easy out. I just keep it.
Oh, yeah. Crazy. So you know how much I love my mom and how much she loves me. She was very tough on me growing up. Tough love as in very strict, right? That's why I grew up under a rock before I went to college. My college years, I struggled with my relationship with her because I was fighting for so much independence. I just wanted her to be Elena because I was always under my parents' wing, right? And then when I went to Colorado to be on my own, I wanted to figure out who I was. And, you know, my freshman year, I was not a good student. I already told you I wasn't the best, but, I mean, not a good student. And soccer was my life. And I found my way back my junior, senior year. And my mom and my relationship didn't find our way back until my junior, senior year, okay? But she never gave up on me. She would still text me every day, hey, be safe, I love you, and I would not respond or whatever. And she never gave up. And because of that, she and I have such a strong relationship now. And now that I'm an adult and I'm in a mother specifically, I look up back on how much she cared about her kid and never giving up. And that's just what we have to be. We have to be that. We have to be, let them figure out who they are, and we have to love them no matter what and know that they will come back.
Yeah, and if you put in that effort, the odds of going up that they're going to come back are going to be that much higher, right?
And
you look at, I think I've heard this, you know, multiple times from multiple people is, you know, they idolize you, they demonize you, mm-hmm. and they empathize with you. So, you know, your kids, when they're young, they want to be around you. Then you're the enemy. They can't, you're annoying, and you're always riding them, and you're so strict, and why are you this kind of parent? Other parents, I hear this all the time. I got teenage kids, right? And this is the difference. Your kid's still in the idolized phase. My kids are, you know, me and mom driving crazy, and why are we always asking them to do different things, and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then they get older, like you just did, and you realize, wow, I know what my mom did for me. I now realize those sacrifices. I realize how hard I was on my mom.
The type of love money can't ever buy me.
And I realize how rude I was to her, and how disrespectful I was to her, and all these things that she was trying to do for me. And you realize it now that you're an adult, and now mm-hmm. you're raising your own kid, mm-hmm. and you're going, wow, they sacrificed. They worked their tail off to have this relationship, and look how, mm-hmm. how strong it is today.
That's right. I want to talk about two things that I thought of during conversation to wrap it up. The first thing, and this might hit you hard.
Okay.
The first thing I want people to understand, because I am one of those kids that did this, is if your kids are in high school and considering going to college and they're looking at colleges outside of your town, specifically your state, don't expect them to come home. They're going to graduate more than likely. They're going to create lives out of there. And then they're going to raise their families outside of where you live. So that means you have two more years of really building the most amount of memories with them before they move. And then you'll start seeing them once, three, four times a year for short periods of time. And that hits hard because I look at it, I didn't go home after college. I always thought I was going to go home. And then I married a Texan. And then when you get married, they become your equal, your priority. And I moved to Texas because it was the best thing for my family. And now my mom has figured out a way, because it wasn't easy for her at first, to figure out a way to still love me and love my children being a state apart. So that's one thing you have to remember. If your kids are in high school and they are looking at colleges outside of state, just know the chances of them moving back home is very, very slim, especially as our economy changes over time.
Right.
Which means also, grandkid wise, you're going to have to prepare for that. And this is your hour now to spend as much time with your kids as you can.
Right.
And once again, I say that from experience.
No, and I'm around the corner on the back half of it, right? So,
but you're doing the right thing. Like, you're going to Dylan's fishing tournaments, Addie's. I see you all the time at Addie's Cheer. You're doing that.
Well, because for me, it's like I don't want to miss an event, and I want my kids to always know that we did everything that we could. Now, I can't make every single thing. I travel for work. Allison's got stuff. We got conflicting schedules sometimes. You can't be in two places at once. Uh-huh. And again, there's a lot of people out there that have, both have to work full-time jobs. And, me and Allison have a different situation than most people do. And uh-huh. we realize what a blessing that truly is that a lot of people don't have. So I take all that into consideration as well. But I think if you really take a hard look at your life, no matter how busy you are, how hard you work, all the things you do, I think most people can realize, there's a lot of time I spend on extracurricular stuff that could be spent one-on-one with my kid and or my kids, and adapt to what they are into. And I think not only does it open your eyes to other things that you might be interested in doing, because now it's forcing you to track that. Now I enjoy fishing more because Dylan pushed me to do it, right? I love cheer. Right? It's weird that
I'm a jiu-jitsu mom.
Yeah,
apparently,
I love watching my daughter do her thing, and I watch her excel, and I watch her, hit a trick that she wants to hit, or whatever, or she does the choreography or the dance, and how talented she is. Like, I get to see those things, and it's so meaningful.
You get to see your children develop.
Yeah,
and mature.
And having that one-on-one time with them, and to the grandparents out there. Same thing.
Love your kids, even if you're not in the same state. Yeah. There's FaceTime these days.
Write the letter.
Bring pen pals back.
Yeah. Send up. Go back to the mail. Right. Like you said. Absolutely. We've got so focused on efficiency. Let me send an email, and there's just no thought put into stuff anymore.
Right.
There's no heart in anything anymore. So let me send an email. Let me send Merry Christmas in an email.
And I don't know what grandparent needs to hear this, but you can actually get books now of you reading the book with your voice for your grandkids. And when they turn the page, they hear your voice reading it.
Yeah. I think it's going to be so important. The things that matter the most to these kids are going to be those things that we talked about.
And I want to make sure, so there's going to be some moms that are going to get on here, and it's going to be natural victim mode. And I get that, because I used to be like that a lot. The worst thing you can do is say, they don't know my position. And get angry about this. We're just, I, from my own personal experience of being a working mom, I run a real estate business, now do a podcast, I run a networking group, and I'm a wife, and I'm a mom, okay? I'm a little busy. And you have to figure out where you can cut back on things to prioritize the kids, especially at a younger age. That's just what I had to do. And once again, it sums up as I had to sacrifice my ego.
Yeah, but these conversations that we have worked for us, right? These are our perspective. This is mm-hmm. what's worked for me. It's what's worked for you. And like I said, it doesn't mean it's going to be a one-size-fits-all for everybody. We absolutely understand that. All this platform is to try to give you guys maybe some advice or make you guys look at things a little bit differently, or when you're struggling with your kid or your kid's driving you crazy. And trust me, we don't have all the answers. I fight with my kids every single day. Mm-hmm. Every morning is a fight to get my daughter out on time and my son not doing his chores. We come across like all we're doing is riding them. So it's
dang this teenagers.
This is not the look at us, we know all the answers. I'm just saying for me, I've recognized that my personal relationships with my kids are getting stronger because I'm making an effort to mm-hmm. have one-on-one time with them, and I've made an effort to adapt myself to what they're into, what they like to do, not necessarily make them, hey, you want to hang out with me? Do what I enjoy doing, mm-hmm. right?
Or force them to just hang out with you.
Absolutely. I want them to come to us and say, you know what, Dad, let's do this together. Hey, Dad, I know you love, can we do this? Can we cook together? Like both my kids, that's how it kind of came up. And then it was, okay, well, you know what? Let's try if we have the means to do it and we got the time to do it. You know, every year try to do a daddy-daughter trip or a father-son trip for a long weekend. And if you can't do that, okay, and not everyone can, right? So it doesn't mean I can always do it. Mm-hmm. Or as they get older, time-wise may not work. But okay, how do I go have a lunch with you every month?
Yeah.
How do I
just watch a movie.
Yeah.
Play a game.
Play a board game.
Go on a walk.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many things you could do, so... Anyway, I know, yeah. This, you know, she held back her tears.
I would say I've been in therapy 3 years and they have never seen me cry. I just black hearted apparently.
Oh my gosh.
But Ryan, I think that was a really good topic. Good one.
I always enjoy the conversation. So
thank you.
We will wrap this one up for today. And, again, we appreciate everyone that's been listening. It's been growing. The audience has been growing. The comments continue to come in. The topics continue to come in.
We need your help by growing it, though. Do us a favor. If you enjoy our content, share it with someone. Share the podcast link. Share the social media. Leave us a review on our podcast. If you find value in this content, chances are other people will, too. And we want to reach those people.
Yeah, and for the people that have been supporting us so far, thank you so much. We couldn't do it without you. We enjoy it. Like I said, I get so much out of these conversations at the end of it. And Elena brings, her perspective, which I love to hear. And hopefully this topic, I think it could resonate with almost everybody here.
Yeah.
So, again, it's just our advice. So,
see you next week.